I'm going to talk about how to deal with love-hate relationships. All right? Last week, I started. Who was here last week? All right, I preached a sermon called Me Too. I want you to know that you are not the only one. You are not the only person that thought about cussing somebody out on the way here, somebody cut you off in traffic. You're not the only one struggling with financial problems, marital problems. You are not the only one. I know that's what the enemy tells you, but you're not. One of the reasons every week that I try to be as vulnerable and transparent as possible, I think there are boundaries. I'm not going to tell you my entire life, but I'm going to be very honest with some of the struggles, is that I, not so you can look at me and judge me and say, I'm going to follow him and he's struggling with this, he's dealing with that. I want to create a platform where you can say me too. I know you may have drove up in the finest of car, or your car may have barely got here, but I want you to know that it's okay to be who you are. It's okay not to be okay, but it's not okay to stay not okay. So I want you to be honest enough to be vulnerable with your issues, whatever you're struggling with, so that you can see God doing incredible things in your life. And today is going to be probably a vulnerable moment for many. I'm going to talk about love-hate relationships, how to forgive and see reconciliation and restore. I want you to go to my scripture here. You can follow me in your Bible. You look on the screen. Some people say it's Philemon. Some people say it's Philemon. But it's in the Bible. Does anybody want to say that you read a whole chapter of the Bible? How many say I want to read? How many, anybody got that goal to say I want to read a whole chapter of the Bible? This is one to read. It's one page. And you can read it and tell people, I read a chapter of the Bible. Do it. But here's what it's about. It's about a guy named Paul. Paul writes this letter to Philemon. If it was the internet days, they'd send an email, a text, or whatever. And he was sending this guy named Onesius back to him. Now, Onesius was not the most credible of characters. It is said that he stole money from him and ran off. Somehow in his running from what he did, he ran into a guy named Paul. And I'm going to read from the King James Version because there's a word that they use that I want to use. Paul, writing back to Philemon, says this, I beseech you for my son Onesius, he said, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now is profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sinned again, thou therefore receive him that is mine own bowels. He said, I'm sending you him back from my heart. Can you imagine the suspect feeling that Paul may have had? I don't know if any of you have ever been betrayed before. Somebody said something, they didn't do it, and now somebody's sending them back and telling you to trust them. I imagine there are many questions in your head, but Paul's sending him back with his stamp of approval because Paul has credibility in his life. So that's what I want to talk about today. If you go to my next slide here, here's the goal of today's sermon. Every relationship in your life should be profitable. Everybody repeat with me. Say every relationship in my life should be profitable. Now, here's the thing. It should benefit you, them, and the world. Relationships are good if you do them the right way. You don't want unprofitable relationships that folks look at you and like, I don't want nothing to do with marriage. I ain't having no more best friends. I'm going to be by myself if that's what a relationship is like. Every relationship in your life can be profitable, and I'm going to show you how. The enemy knows this, so he messes with individuals who make bad decisions and cause unprofitable things to happen in others' lives. You ever wonder why the enemy fights the relationships that are closest to you the most? That's because there's the most profit built into those relationships, and he don't want to see you being unprofitable. What I want to see happen in your life is that God gets you to a point where you can reconcile your relationships. Now, every reconciliation may not mean that y'all come back and talk every day. It may mean this. It may mean that you forgive people. It may mean that you come to terms with your ex, that y'all may not get back together, but y'all have children together. And y'all can look at each other without rolling each other's eyes and throwing each other's birds and doing all kind of stuff like that, but y'all can peaceably raise children. It may be an old coworker. It may be an old business. It may be somebody that you can think about them without having the meanest thoughts come in your head. But I want to see every relationship in your life become profitable. As a matter of fact, I want to sow into your life. Anybody read in here? Anybody like to read? Hey, there's this book by a guy that I love. His name is Henry Cloud. And it's called Changes That Heal, 4 Shifts That Make Everything Better and That Anyone Can Do. Anybody want this book right here? In the back. Mel, we'll give it to you. I would throw it, but about 10 rows of people right there. He'll take it to you. There's another book Henry Cloud wrote with John Townsend. It's called Boundaries, When to Say Yes and When to Say No to Take Control of Your Life. Anybody need boundaries? Tosh, you need it? All right, here's one of the best books I've ever read. It's called The Bait of Satan. I've been through church hurt or just hurt in life, and my heart got in a bad place, and I called it spiritual. But in reality is I had offense inside of my heart, and it clouded everything I saw. and I unraveled it, and this is one of the great resources. Anybody would love this book right here for Johnny? You can share it after you read it. You know, that's a great thing about books. All right. So today I'm going to talk about love-hate relationships. You go to my first slide here. Here's how they work in your life. The struggle is real. Because on one hand, I'm not talking about love is real, but then you got this hate pulling you. You got this duality going on the inside of you, and you really don't know how to really describe it. You don't really know how to put it into words. One minute you feel this way, another minute you feel this way. Matter of fact, let me show you a couple minutes from the show. Hey, pull it up here on the screen. I want to show them what the struggle looks like.
36 years ago, you left me at the front door of a fire station. Don't worry, I'm not here because I want anything from you. I was raised by two incredible parents. I have a lights-out family of my own. And that car you see parked out in front of your house cost $143,000, and I bought it for cash. I bought it for cash because I felt like it and because I can do stuff like that. Yeah. You see, I turned out pretty all right, which might surprise a lot of folks considering the fact that 36 years ago, my life started with you leaving me on a fire station doorstep with nothing more than a ratty blanket and a crap-filled diaper. I came here today so I could look you in the eye, say that to you, and then get back in my fancy car and finally prove to myself and to you and to my family who loves me that I didn't need a thing from you, even after I knew who you were.
You want to come in?
Okay.
Seems to me you want me to try to make amends so you can say screw you and storm out of here.
That's ridiculous.
Okay. I'd like to say I remember that day, but I barely do. I'm clean now, finally, but I was on the streets then. I remember her dying. Your mom. Remember the baby? I'd like to say I remember leaving you at a fire station, but I don't. Not an excuse. In fact, it probably tells you something about me that I don't remember. I do like fire stations, though, so that sounds like something I'd do if I had to do something, you know? Anyway, I don't know if that's what you're looking for, but either way, you can be sure this life of mine is punishment enough for the things I've done.
If you think I'm gonna forgive you...
I don't.
You know, you were right. I did just want to say screw you and storm out of here.
Go ahead.
Screw you.
Yeah.
You want to meet your grandchildren?
I'll get my coat.
I should have called. I didn't know how to say it out loud.
So?
I have no explanation, baby. Like, everything I want to say or do around this man, I do the opposite. It's like a bad sitcom. It's like an episode of The Manny or What is Happening. He left me at a fire station and I invited him into our home.
What's happening?
That's what the struggle looks like. One moment you want to shoot him in between the eyes, and the next minute you want to stitch it back up. One moment it's like, I can't stand you, and it's like, but I don't want to do anything bad to you. That's what the struggle looks like. Can I tell you why the struggle exists? Struggle exists because you have love in your heart, which causes Romans 8:28 to always be at work in your life. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. There's something in you that always wants things to work out for people and for the whole world around you. So whereas you want to hate, there's some love pulling you in a direction that says, I can't let this stuff stay here. This makes you always want to see things go in the same direction, in the direction that God wants it to go in, because love pulls things together. Hate divides things. That's why some of you have been trying to get help for people who betrayed you. And you say, I feel stupid. Look what you did to me, and I'm trying to get you help that you don't even know you need. Can I tell you here, you can help them with boundaries, but don't feel like a fool. Don't feel stupid. Because that's love working in your heart, because you want all things to work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Can I talk about hate for a moment? Next slide says this. Hate is a heart issue driven by ignorance. Hate is personified in how you deal with it by how Jesus dealt with it on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. What? Crown of thorns on his head. He's hung on the cross. They're piercing him with a spear in his side. They don't know what they're doing. Oh, yeah, God, they know what they're doing. The reality is, did you hear the guy saying, I couldn't even remember leaving you on. I know it's a TV show, but it's real. Many of us who have been intoxicated, perhaps with drugs, with just being too much alcohol, or with selfishness, because selfishness is a drug all by itself, or with lust and certain things that ate your life up, and you made certain decisions, and you even looked at yourself like, what in the world was I thinking? And there were people who were hurt by that, and the response to many is hate, and hate gets deep in your heart. And here's the reality is, don't feel bad for having hate struggles in your heart. Because the fact that you're struggling shows that love is still there. The moment you get to the point where you check out and you don't care, that's a scary place. The moment you say, I don't care what you do, I don't care what you say, you're nothing to me, that's a scary place to be. But the fact that you're struggling right now, you even like, man, why do I still feel this way when I got love and hate struggling? That's a good sign. Love is still there and it's trying to win. And I got good news for you. Love always wins. Can I talk about love for a moment? Al Green said it this way. Love will make you do right. Love will make you do wrong. It'll make you come home early. It'll make you stay out all night long. Reality, that ain't love. That's foolishness. You out all night and ain't going. You going to work with no sleep chasing somebody. That's foolishness. Love, come on next slide here. Love is this. It's not human. Love is from God. Somebody say it with me. Love is not human. It's from God. The reason why you can love in the middle of hate is because love lifts you. Love doesn't seek revenge. Love speaks truth. Love doesn't turn a blind eye to offense. It sees the offense and said, I'm going to respond another way. Love hopes for the best. Love moves forward in faith. I saw this picture. There's a lot going on in our country right now. And the goal of the enemy is to divide us, black, white, Hispanic. And we all sit here and look at each other with suspect eyes. And the reality is, I think God is going to use this as one of the crowning moments in history. I got on my knees when I saw what was going on in Charlottesville, Virginia. And I said, God, bring the vision to pass even more. Send people who are black, send people who are white, send Hispanics, send Asians, send people from all descent into this place so we can worship the name of Jesus, because I think we know the answer. Yes. We may not agree on everything, but we do agree on one thing, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we have a purpose, and he can move us forward. But I saw this gentleman who was an African-American police guarding the very thing that could perhaps hate him. Nazi signs, swastikas, or whatever that's called there, and the rebel flag. And this man picked his calling, his purpose, over his problems. That's what love says. I got many problems, but I choose not to be in my feelings. I'm going to walk in my purpose. Love says I'm not going to retaliate. Love says I'm going to see God's great reward, because I can't sow disrespect and expect to receive honor. I said a whole lot right there. I can't expect to receive honor if I act a fool. But if I stay in my call, and Satan's been fighting many of y'all to get out of character, to get out of your role, to get out of who God called you to be. But I want to charge you today to stay in love. Stay in the place that God called you to be. Pick your purpose over your problem and watch God's great reward show up in your life. Love doesn't turn a blind eye to challenges. Love just knows how to win. I'm going to say it again. Love doesn't turn a blind eye to challenges. Love knows how to win, and it's going to show you the right way to win. Go to my next slide here. Identify the struggle. You know why the struggle exists. You know what hate is. You know what love is. Now you got a choice. You got to choose a path. I'm going to give you a series of steps. And when you take these steps are not, okay, I got to forgive. I got to do this. It's not that. You're already doing them, or you're going to do them based off the path you chose. I'm going to challenge you today to choose the path of love versus the path of hate. Because hate never wins. Hate always ends in destruction. And you got plenty of reasons to hate. But you don't have to take that path. You can choose the path of love. Let's go to the path of hate and show you how it starts. The path of hate always starts with a bait of offense. Honest moment. God's called me, I feel, to have a diverse church, people from all walks of life. It don't look like it right now, but y'all just keep coming. It's going to start to look like that. And as the years come, y'all keep listening to me. It's going to look like that. But I had a problem in myself that God had to deal with me with. I had a challenge with Caucasian males, and I had this thing in my head that I felt like I had something to prove to Caucasian males, and I saw where it came from. I remember in the seventh grade sitting in my math class. I don't know if it was algebra. It was my math class, and I remember this white guy looked at me in the face, and he called all of us the N-word. And I didn't know what to fight, threw the desk on him. And I said, man, what'd you say that for? He said, my daddy said we could. He said, that's what you are. And I'm thinking in my head, oh, my God. I remember being in high school, getting called that again. I remember coming home from college, and I had four white friends, and we went over to one of my buddy's house, and they were asking him how they were doing in school. Hey, did you make the dean's list? How's school going for you? When they got to me, I was proud. I was going to tell them how I did. They said, are you still in school? You're going to get plenty of opportunities to be offended, but don't choose that option. There are plenty of things that's going to happen in your life, and I can walk around with a dashiki and grow my afro. It'll probably start right here because my hairline ain't where it used to be. And I can talk about black power, all this stuff all day, and I'm a proud African-American man, but you should be proud of whatever color you are, and we can walk hand in hand together. But it doesn't have to be a chip on my shoulder. You got plenty of opportunities to be offended. But next, after you're offended, there is an emotional response. You get angry. You get hurt. You get disappointed. You can be offended as a lady. Somebody may not think you can do it because you're a lady. Are you going to be a supervisor? You're going to do this? Don't take the bait. The anger, the emotions are going to come. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Just don't let it control you. Oh, I feel so bad. I got hate in my heart. Just don't respond to the hate. It's all right to be disappointed. Don't let it control you. You make a decision, because if you don't, you're going to fall into the trap of offense. And you will find yourself being offended, and you will turn every situation around where you become the victim. I don't care what happens, you're going to become the victim in every situation. And something starts to set up in your heart that becomes very dangerous. A root of bitterness starts to show up, where you can say all the right things with the wrong motives, and nothing seems to go right for you. You can see negative stuff in the middle. You don't even realize how negative you are. I've had that set up in my heart, and I had to have it checked. I had to have God unroot all that bitterness out of me so that I can see what he called me to be. And the next thing that happens is destruction. These are not things you do, like you purposely do. You subconsciously do them when you choose that path. Can I tell you about the path of love? Y'all right in here?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody breathe. All right, it's real tight in here. Let's loosen you up for a minute. Let's talk about the path of love. You start the same way. There's a bait of offense. The offense happens, but you choose not to. I have the same emotions. I got anger. I got hurt. I got disappointment. But I make a strategic decision. I decide to forgive. Can I challenge you, when you're dealing with forgiveness or you're talking to somebody about forgiveness, the worst thing to tell somebody is, get over it. You know that happened 10 years ago, but they can relive it like it was yesterday. In the point of forgiveness, what you challenge a person is this: there is no future in your past. You show them what life can be. Do you want to move forward? Do you want your life to flourish? Do you want to see yourself greater? Do you want a great relationship? Do you want a great marriage? Do you want to do well on your job? Yes, I want that. I see myself in the future. I look much better than I look right now. If you want that, you got to let this go.
Yes.
No, if I let this go, I don't think they paid enough. Because the reality is, you want all your enemies to go to hell. If they don't go but for 5 minutes, you want them to go. Just let them burn and bring them out, God. That's wrong. You know what you hadn't thought about? You are somebody's enemy. Talk to this side right here. Somebody may have those same thoughts about you, and God has had to restore you. God has had to forgive you. So what you do is you make a decision to forgive, because you know what God wants for your enemies? Get ready. You know what God wants for your enemies? He wants to see them get saved and prosper. He does not want to see your enemy's life fall apart. So if you are praying that prayer, God, get my supervisor fired, get him up out of here, God, get rid of all these people out of my life, and you send your wrath down on them, you know what? No. What you want to pray is, God, bless my supervisor. And if need be, promote him to the next place in life. I'll take his position, or I'll take her position. God, bless everybody who is cursing me. God, let them see your love so strong that, man, they have no other reason but to say, God, I don't know what you're doing in my life. This is going to be hard. That person who's been talking about you, God bless them. Keep a hedge of protection around them. Bless their children. And you'll be talking to yourself like, you fool, what is wrong with you? Why are you praying for that person? Because when you're doing that, I'm not sowing disrespect and expecting to reap honor. I am sowing honor and I'm expecting to reap honor, because you will fall into the trap of hate and don't even realize it. So you make a decision to forgive by looking to the past. The next thing you do is, it's just happening. Trust is restored. Let me show you what happens with trust. Many of us, when you have been hurt, you've been disappointed, your trust is destroyed, and you don't even realize it. This pastor called me, and he said, Jason, he said, your book is in Christian Publishers outlet here in Murfreesboro. And I said, it is? I didn't have an arrangement with him. I thought he was just giving me this gratuitous. You know how people just tell you good job and all that stuff, and they really don't mean it. And I thought he was just blowing smoke. So you know what I did? I went to the store the next day. And then took the book, and it was in there, and posted on Instagram, and said, look how God is opening doors. But you know how I got there? I got there because I didn't trust him, and I had to go see for myself. Many of us, because you've been hurt, you've been disappointed, you don't believe nothing. You read too much into your compliment, and you read too much into your criticism. People will say, I wouldn't do things that way. What, you're saying I'm stupid? You think I can't make decisions? Because that stuff is in your heart. So what you allow God to do is to restore trust. You know why I can trust? Because I don't genuinely believe that people are inherently evil. I don't think people set out to ruin your life. Even the worst person that's getting on your nerves right now, I don't think they're an evil person. I think good people make bad decisions because they're under the influence of something that's not them. So you got to give people space, boundaries in your life, but you got to give people space to grow out of that stuff and not believe that everybody is evil. Ladies, be honest. You having a bad experience with a guy, and then you hear people talking, you can't trust no man. You ain't dated but one. And you put every man in his category. Ladies, I mean, fellas, you have a lady that lies to you, or somebody of an opposite race, you can't trust them. You ain't met but one or two. There is a gigantic world out there that we condense to our hurt, and the world is bigger than your hurt. There's a big world out there that God wants you to experience, but you got to learn how to trust.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next thing that can happen is reconciliation. Now, reconciliation doesn't look the same for all of us. Reconciliation doesn't mean you and your ex going to get back together. It doesn't mean that everything, I would love to tell you that everything works. Somebody said, Lord, no. All right. Reconciliation may mean this. It may mean you forgive that person, and so that every time you think of them, you're not rolling your eyes. Or it's shooting them birds. Reconciliation may mean this. It may mean that you see them as everybody else sees them, not in a freeze-frame picture of what they were in times past. It may mean this, that God releases you from all that anger and that hurt so that you can be open for the opportunity. Can I tell you something? You can be hurt by the person that's the closest to you, but you can stay stuck in that moment of hurt. They've moved on and matured, but you still see them as what they were, and everybody sees them for who they are. So what forgiveness does, it does more for you than it does for the person. It opens your eyes up so you can see what God is doing in their life. That makes sense in here. So God wants reconciliation to happen. Can I show you when to reconcile? If you're taking notes, you can write this down. I'm going to show when you should and should not reconcile. Did he just say that? Yeah, because I don't believe in every situation you should reconcile. You got to forgive, but reconciliation, watch this, you got to be careful because you have to do it with boundaries. All right? Yes. When a person can admit they're wrong, you can reconcile. When a person knows what is right, you can reconcile. When a person has a relationship with God and they're controlled by the Holy Spirit, because watch this, the last thing you want somebody to do is to change for you. Oh, I'm going to get it right together so we can do this. If they change for you, after a while, they're going to get comfortable and resort back to what they're comfortable with. You want them to change because God convicted them. Can I tell you about God? When you get the Holy Spirit in you, he will convict you and nobody is around. And you don't change because somebody fussed at you. You don't change because you are scared of shame. You don't change because you are scared of being exposed. You change because God puts love in your heart. And you say, I cannot live like this. I can't treat people like this. I can't talk to people like this because you have a relationship with God. Here's another step to reconciliation. When a person, their change is validated by objective people. You can be so in love with a person that you accept whatever they say just because they say it. There are many instances where you have to interject somebody else into the situation so they can see things for what they are. Just keep looking straight ahead at me. Because a person can, oh, I'm changed. I've done this. But many times you need, anybody thank God for counselors and for mature people in your life who can walk you through the process of restoration, that's when I think you should seek reconciliation. When should you be careful about reconciliation? It's dangerous to reconcile with a person who is not restored and has not changed, because your life will be stuck on repeat. You're going to get good, go right back to the same spot. Get good, go back to the same spot. Because there is no change. There's a change in perhaps conversation and communication, but there's not a change in behavior. If a person has not admitted, that's a wrong pattern of my life. I should not put my hands on you. I should not talk to you that way. I know it sounds like a counseling session. If they said, hey, I should not lie to you. I should not do that. That's not something I should not do. That's a dangerous place to reconcile with somebody who does not admit I was wrong. You all right in here? So you have to see, have you really changed and things really restored in your life? Because every situation does not go back to what it was. I would love to tell you that it does. Not because it can't, but because people make a decision not to. So what God does, if there's ever a gap in your life that is not filled, I love God about this. He always sends people to fill in the gap. If you didn't have a father and your father decided to go AWOL, just like that young man here, God always has somebody in your life to feel. You will never, when you're at your lowest moment, God will put you on somebody's heart and will step in, and you have no idea why they're doing it. There are angels in the form of, look around you, look around you. These are people who could be assigned angels into your life to walk you through to your next level. But if Satan has convinced you that you can't trust people, there's a level of healing that you will not receive. I don't want nobody in my business. Do you know why I think we struggle so with trust and guilt? Not because of what's been done to us, but many times because of half the stuff we've done. And you think people would do just what to you what you've been doing to them and other people. There's a point where you got to, y'all keep looking straight ahead. You got to get rid of all that guilt in your heart so you can see God's reconciliation, and the last thing that happens is growth. I'm going to challenge you here as I get ready to close and pray. For many of you, this is a moment that I'm going to challenge you to forgive. Forgiving happens this way. I don't necessarily believe, this is not John 3:16, this is Jason 1:1, that you got to go to that person and say, I forgive you. Because in some situations, you're not ready to engage with that person. Maybe restraining orders, maybe you don't know what's going on there. You go calling up an old ex and y'all still got feelings. And you tell them, I forgive you. And next thing you wake up the next morning, there was a great forgiveness session, wasn't it? You all right? You may not be ready for that. Forgiveness happens when you release that person and you let go of revenge in your heart. Forgiveness says, I release you. The person you're mad at may be gone. They may be dead. But you can do it in your heart and say, God, this morning, I'm going to forgive. The other side of that, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Now, this I think you do have to do with people. God may be challenging you to swallow your pride, because some of us are afraid to admit that we're wrong. We don't acknowledge when we've hurt other people. It may be you going to somebody and saying, you know what? I'm sorry. I hurt you. They may have heard you were talking about them. They know it. You don't have to go to them and say, yeah, I said you were stupid. I said you couldn't make good decisions. I said you're the dumbest person. You don't say all that. You say, I've said some things about you. What'd you say? It don't matter. Just know that I said some things I shouldn't say, and I need to get it right with you. I want to challenge you this morning, whatever boat you're in, as you stand to your feet, it's time to forgive.